In the responsorial psalm, we sung about the joy of this season, right? We sung about all the earth crying out to God with joy. And think back to the beginning of Mass, the collect, the opening prayer goes, "Grant that we may celebrate with heartfelt devotion these days of joy." These days of joy. No matter what your political coloration, the last 2 weeks have not seemed like days of joy. They have been days of confusion and have distracted us from these days of joy. These days of joy, these 50 days from Easter to Pentecost, these days of joy. We need to do a little reset today and place ourselves back in the middle of these days of joy. Throughout these days of joy, there are themes that reinforce that, basically about the new life that is present during the season. And you have seen and heard that in the sacramental life of this parish in these days of joy. Of course, it all began on Holy Saturday, when the elect were baptized, confirmed, and received First Communion. And that set the pattern throughout this season of the new sacramental life coming to us during these days of joy. That is why, at the beginning of every Mass, during this season, the sprinkling rite takes place to remind us of our new life in baptism. That is why infant baptisms, which hadn't taken place during Lent, now take place with regularity on Saturdays and Sundays. The new life of baptism. Beyond that, there is the new life of those being led deeper into the life of the Church through the First Eucharist. Sunday after Sunday, at various Masses, children are receiving First Communion. And last, just 2 weeks ago, at this very liturgy, people were received into full communion in the Church. What's happening now is we come towards the end of these days of joy. The third of the sacraments of initiation, that is confirmation, begins to sneak up on us on the way. It's always been there. It was there at the Easter Vigil. But on June 3rd and June 10th, confirmation with bishops of the Archdiocese of Washington will take place here. Just like the confirmation took place for those received into full communion 2 weeks ago. What we have seen during these days of joy is the entire kind of new life of the Church, the rites of initiation, those things that should fill us with joy. And even the readings begin to talk about that today, kind of the shift that we're going from baptism through Eucharist into confirmation. That first reading is very interesting because the disciples are in Samaria and people have been baptized, but they haven't yet received the Spirit. Now, I know there's complex theology about the Spirit being received in all of these sacraments, but what it sounds like to me is they've been baptized and they haven't been confirmed. And just imagine, if you were a Samaritan, you wouldn't have to go on a confirmation retreat, you wouldn't have to do service projects, and you wouldn't have to do your confirmation interview. You would be confirmed by the disciples. Confirmation, confirming what has taken place in baptism, the descent of the Spirit. And even that second reading talks about how Jesus died in the flesh and then was raised in the Spirit. Spirit talk begins to get much thicker in the readings as we head towards the end of these days of joy. The gospel is strange because the gospel comes from the farewell discourse of the Lord. It is Holy Thursday in gospel time, and he is preparing the disciples for his imminent departure, for his death. And he says, "I will not leave you alone. I'll send an advocate." In Greek, Parakletos, literally somebody who will stand by you. It almost has a legal kind of sense. Somebody who will stand by you. I will not leave you alone. I will send you somebody. He will not leave us alone. Sometimes during these days of joy, it has felt that way, hasn't it? One other interpretation or another translation of the word orphan is desolate. Of course, he was preparing them for his death, but in an interesting way, that gospel is used to prepare us, to prepare his disciples for the ascension, right? When once again he will depart. But his promise is the same as it was on that Holy Thursday. He will not leave us alone. He will not leave us desolate. He will send somebody to stand with us. He will be with us. Do we really feel that in these days of joy? In that second reading, Peter says an interesting thing. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. What is our reason for our hope during these days of joy? With all the voices we've had to put up with the last 2 weeks, I think it might be healthy if we sat together here, quietly, thinking about these days of joy, and what does give us hope? Let us profess our faith using the Apostles' Creed, found at number 175 in your